Well, it's not fair.
Oh, that's not, it's not fair for Flair.
No, let's start a campaign.
Not fair for Flair.
With that in mind,
Flair.
Ladies and gentlemen,
not
let's get to
everybody,
action.
Everybody, not
the
fair
Anvil Jim Neidhart squaring off against the Mountain.
Not fair for them.
Get ready! You're talking to the Rolex wearing, diamond ring wearing, gift stealing, woo, wheel of dealing, living in black, jet fire, none of a gun, and I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome once again to Fair for Flair, the second part in my four-part mini-series here. And on this show, I'm flying solo, and I'm doing something a little bit unusual, something that I don't think many people have ever done in podcast form. And that is, I want to take a look at Flair as a promo, and I want to actually take individual promos and sustain them to something approaching literary analysis. And I, as some people would know, am fairly well equipped to provide such analysis. And rather than take Flair's greatest hits, I thought it would be interesting to just take him over a period of time. And the period I've picked here is basically his WWF run from late 91 to 1992, and I want to take us from his debut until roughly the point that he loses the WWF title at WrestleMania 8. I think that gives us a really nice little picture of how Flair was able to come in to a new promotion, to a set of fans who didn't necessarily know him, although some portion of fans would have known him. And I really want to track exactly how he was able to build interest in him and himself as a character through a series of promos. So without further ado, we're going to go to WWF Superstars and one Sean Mooney on September the 9th, 1991, for the debut of Ric Flair.
Federation. Ric Flair, I will not contest the fact that you are known to be one of the greatest wrestlers in the world. But in the process of arriving here in the World Wrestling Federation, you have incurred the wrath of not only Rowdy Roddy Piper, but the World Wrestling Federation champion, Hulk Hogan. Are you ready to take on either of these superstars?
Recognized as one of the best wrestlers in the world, is that the way you introduced me?
Well, yes, I would agree with that statement.
Well, why don't we start from the top? First of all, several months ago, the greatest mind in this sport, my close friend, Bobby Heenan, and I put together what you might call the winning package. Heenan, Flair, world champion, greatest mind, and we decided that if the money was right, that Ric Flair, instead of hollering to get in the doors of the WWF, ought to take that huge step and stand right in front of the doors, knock as hard as he could, and challenge the man that you all recognize as the World Wrestling Federation heavyweight champion. Well, Hulk Hogan, I'll get to you in a minute. First of all, let me get to a guy by the name of Roddy Piper. Because Piper, before I get wound up on Hogan, you and I got a little short bit of business to take care of. In my absence, the greatest mind in our sport brought my World Heavyweight Championship trophy out on national television. Not to be braggadocious, not to show off, but merely to let the world know that the real world's heavyweight champion
was going to be coming to the WWF. Well, lo and behold, did you think it wasn't going to happen? Did you think the greatest mind in the sport would walk out here with $75,000 worth of pure gold and blow smoke? Well, if you did, you were wrong. So, Roddy Piper, when you took off those earphones and walked from behind that desk with your cute little skirt on and walked over and spit on this and grabbed him, you put yourself in permanent retirement. Because now, Piper, you gotta wrestle the real world heavyweight champion. And if you're honest with yourself, you know, Piper, what the real deal is all about.
What are you going to do the first time you see Mr. Piper?
What? Right across the face. I'm going to hit you so hard, Piper, your skirt's going to fall to your ankles. And then what are you going to do? Who are you going to spit on laying on your back, Hot Rod? Now.
Excuse me, Miracle. I think you should mention about how many times, how many years you challenged Hulk Hogan.
Well,
unanswered.
For 10 years, it's been two names, Hogan and Flair. Hogan, the WWF champion, Ric Flair, the world, the real world heavyweight champion. Well, now.
They don't know any better. They will.
Now, let's bring this down to something that Hogan will have to understand. You don't ignore this. My name's Ric Flair, and I'm going to burst that bubble, big man. And henceforth, big man, Hogan, wherever you walk, in any major airport, in any department store, in any hotel lobby, the question is going to be in your face from everyone. Can you beat Ric Flair? You're going to have to wrestle him, Hulk. I mean, Hulk, you're our hero. You're the man. And Hogan, that's when you're going to have to look inside. You're going to have to say to yourself, well, yeah, am I? I don't know. Well, I know! I'm Ric Flair! And I'm the real world champion. I know! How about that, brain? I guess what I'm saying is, Hogan, put up or shut up. Give me the belt. Walk away. Nobody gets hurt. Or what? You got a problem with that, sweetheart? I'll show you what I'm about later on. You keep tight right there. Yeah.
Oh, you.
It's as simple as that, Hulk. Show us what you got, big man.
A very intense Ric Flair. The
ground is
issue. Let's get back to action. The Texas Tornado taking on IRS.
So in this promo, you can see that Flair immediately is able to get himself over as this all-time great. This isn't just any kind of typical WWF heel coming in. He's immediately claiming to be the best of all time. The very first thing he says to Sean Mooney is, one of the best, as if to say, of course, I am the best. Then, very quickly, he turns his attention to Bobby Heenan. Now, of course, WF fans would have known Heenan for the past decade, and he puts Heenan over massively as the greatest mind in this sport. He puts over the idea of himself and Heenan as this winning package. So immediately, he's getting over the concept of them as a team. He's getting Heenan over. He's getting himself over. He's getting a rub from Heenan. From anyone who, you know, to any fans that don't know him, and I do think that it is possible that there were especially younger fans who just didn't have any idea that Ric Flair was. And certainly I remember as a kid in the UK, where we didn't where most people didn't watch WCW or just didn't have access. Certainly most of us didn't have access to NWA in the 80s. That would have been the first time that many of us would have ever seen Ric Flair, okay? And immediately, he's over, not only as through the association with Heenan, but as an all-time great, the winning package, and so on and so forth. Now he turned his attention to Roddy Piper, which is obviously going to be someone he was setting up to have a series of matches with on house shows. And immediately, what does he get over? The title, the belt. He's brought the real world title, which of course any of us wrestling fans know is the NWA title, and the great rival of the WWF for the past decade. He's brought that over, and he's getting it over immediately to fans, that, you know, that's the thing that matters to him. Piper has spat on the belt, and he takes that as a, you know, he's going to stop at nothing to get back at Piper. He says, I'm going to hit you so hard that your skirt is going to be around your ankles. But at the same time, to anybody who has seen NWA or anybody who was following WCW at this time, he's getting over that idea of WWF versus NWA. And that's the subtext of this whole thing. So there's a wonderful kind of work shoot element running through this whole angle. And then, of course, he turns his attention to Hulk Hogan. And note, he doesn't actually run Hogan down. He puts him over as the WWF champion and a hero. And this is something that Ric Flair is phenomenal at throughout his career. It's why, for my money, he is the all-time best promo. People will look at The Rock, for example. But I actually think The Rock was guilty at times at making his opponent look foolish or putting them down. We love The Rock because he's just cool and charismatic and has got killer lines. But if you actually think about selling a program, I think Flair, in terms of that, in terms of getting himself and his opponent over, is the all-time greatest. And here, he comes in, he puts... he actually says, you're a hero, you're the man. And if anybody knows Ric Flair, for him to call somebody else the man is really putting him over pretty strong. But then he develops this metaphor, which we'll touch on in the next promo, of bursting Hogan's bubble. And he's talking about the WWF bubble. There's this real sense where he's trying to get inside Hogan's mind. Wherever you walk, in any major airport, in any department store or hotel lobby, you're going to have people asking you, when are you going to take on Ric Flair? So there's Flair the psychologist here getting in Hogan's head. In 1 or 2 minutes, he's getting over the entire rivalry here. He's setting himself up as being an all-time great. There's an awesome little shades of the 80s Slick Rick character, because of course in the WWF, Flair would typically just wear the robe. You wouldn't see him in the shades and the suit, but you get these little snippets of Slick Rick, and a woman shouts something in the crowd, and you get the awesome little aside to her of. You can see the 80s character come out there. So, wonderful debut for Flair. Now, his next appearance would be in 2 weeks' time, September the 21st, 91. And this was his appearance on the funeral parlor on Superstars. Get ready for this one, folks.
Piper, if you want to do any spinning, here's the real world's champion, Ric Flair!
I'll be right back.
Now just keep your cool, Hot Rod. Just keep your cool, please. Be a professional.
I'm trying.
What did you think? Piper! What happened? I was just going wrong. Now you, like everybody else, have got to deal with the real heavyweight champion. And Piper, let's get it straight right now. The first opportunity I have to see you walk lights out, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Lights out. Now, let's talk about Hulk Hogan. You never called back. You never had the guts to jump back at Ric Flair. So now, Hogan, it goes like this. The greatest mind in this sport
made the phone call. And I said, Rain, if you got the money, honey, I got the time. So here we are. We're outside this big glass bubble that you live in, Hogan, called the WWE. But can you hear me knocking, Hogan? It's Ric Flair, the real World Heavyweight Champion, the greatest wrestler alive today. Let me say one thing. And I want you to pay real close attention. While you were in Hollywood making movies, Thunderlips, I was winning world titles. I bled and I sweat and I paid the price to be the real world heavyweight champion. And the difference between you and me is this, big man. For all those little kids out there that you live every day to make happy, there's 1,000 women that love a kiss stealing, wheeling, dealing, limousine riding, jet flying, son of a gun that just happens to be the real world heavyweight champion.
Well, there you have it, Hot Rod. He calls himself the real world champion. Ric Flair, I compliment you on keeping your cool.
So for my money, this is one of the all-time great promos that isn't really talked about. In fact, the more I think about it, the more I'd have to put this promo in, you know, maybe a top five of all time. I just think it's absolutely phenomenal. He hits so many brilliant points here. Some of the lines are just incredible. And today, in today's wrestling, you just don't see or hear promos as great as this. So I'm just going to go through line by line what he says and stop to comment on different things here, okay? He says, for 10 years, Hogan, Ric Flair has called your name from every spot in the world. And immediately you know that he's telling the truth. You know that Ric Flair has been going all over the world, and you know that it's been on his mind, at least, when is he going to face Hulk Hogan, okay? And then he calls Hogan out. And do you know what? You never had the guts to call back. So immediately Flair is putting himself in the position of being the wronged party, which is a classic heel move, of course. He's accusing Hogan of being a coward, and Flair is the one who's been wanting the shot. Then he puts Heenan over again. The greatest mind made the phone call. And then, in a wonderful callback to his days talking with Tony Schiavone on World Championship Wrestling, you got the money, honey, I got the time. So a great little, one of Ric Flair's little catchphrases there. And then, back to this metaphor, we're outside this big glass bubble that you live in, Hogan, called the WWF. and there, he's not only getting at Hogan, he's getting at the entire promotion of the WWF. He's getting at the fact that the WWF never acknowledged wrestling outside of the WWF bubble, and he, Flair, is invading this space. He is wrestling. He represents wrestling outside of the WWF, and he's coming into Hogan's territory here. And he says, "Can you hear me knocking, Hogan? Can you hear me knocking?" And I think it's a really vivid imagery. It's almost like poetry, this. And then, check out this line. While you were in Hollywood making movies, Thunderlips, I was winning world titles. I paid the price. I bled and I sweat to be the real world heavyweight champion. Now, that is such a phenomenal line there, because I mean, I guess these days you'd call it a worked shoot, because so much of what he's saying here is actually true, and because of that there's a real verisimilitude to it all. It's actually believable what he's saying, and he encapsulates a dynamic between these two men. Hogan is all about Hollywood. Hogan did go off and make movies. He did bugger off and stop wrestling. And fans who were actually thinking about this would know. And Flair was bleeding and, you know, sweating and working his ass off all around the world. So there's this little dynamic here that anybody who's followed Flair to the WWF, any of those fans in the South, for example, who are watching this, even though Flair is being presented as a heel, even though he's being booed in the studio, even though this is Hogan's universe, any actual Ric Flair fans following this, you know, would be also invested in this view. There is no sense in which any fan is being alienated. The true hardcores are going to be in Flair's corner here, and he is speaking directly to them, while at the same time, any dyed-in-the-wool WWF fans, any Hogan fans, are going to be rooting for Hogan. And then, check out this line. "This is the difference between you and me, big man," he says. "This is the difference between me and you. For all you little kids out there that you live every day of your life to make happy, there's 1,000 women that love a kiss-stealing, wheeling-dealing, jet-flying son of a gun who just happens to be the real world's heavyweight champion." Now, not only are we getting another callback to one of Flair's kind of 80s catchphrases, so we're getting that Slick Rick character sneaking in yet again. Not only do we get that, but he's making reference to the fact that Hogan is there for the kids, and he is there for the adults, the women who want to screw him, the men who want to be like him. So you're having Flair talking to these two different audiences, which we know now are two different wrestling audiences, and he's tapping into both of them. I think it's a genius promo, top five of all time for me, doesn't get talked about enough, and the fact that this isn't flagged up as Ric Flair's greatest promo is testament to the fact that he is one of the greatest promos of all time. So now, one day later, we're going to go to WWF Challenge and the Barbershop, where Flair had this to say.
"And now, ladies and gentlemen, Brutus the Barber
first time we hook up, well, you're done. And then Hogan, wherever you are, Hogan, listen to me very carefully. There are 300 million people in the world that think the sun rises and sets on you. They think you are the champion. Little kids all over the world say, Hulk Hogan this and Hulk Hogan that. Well, Hogan, I'm right here, and I'm telling you that until you beat Ric Flair, your second best, I am the real world heavyweight champion.
So the genius of this promo and of this series of promos really is that he's hyping two different programs at the same time. Hogan is clearly the headline feud, but Piper is going to be working the house show. So Flair devotes more time to Hogan, but is always making sure that he's getting his shots in on Piper. And just look, he's reiterating the same points as the promo the night before, but he's changing up all of his metaphors now. So before, where he was talking about knocking on the glass bubble, here he's talking about being on Hogan's doorstep. He's literally out, you know, he's literally on his doorstep. Hogan's got nowhere to go. But then look at how massively he puts Hogan over. He says 300 million people in the world think the sun rises and sets on you. They think you are the champion. Little kids all over the world say Hulk Hogan this and Hulk Hogan that. He couldn't be putting Hogan over any more massively than this. Okay, he's literally building Hogan up in order to pull him down by saying, I'm telling you that until you beat Ric Flair, you're second best. So it kind of, you know, by building Hogan up, he builds himself up even more. And that I think is one of the underrated aspects of Ric Flair's promos, the extent to which he's able to make his opponent, even as he's talking up how he's going to beat that opponent. So yet another really good promo. So the next Flair promo I'm going to be looking at is going to be October the 6th, 1991, on Superstars. And this was where he was hyping up a forthcoming match at the Boston Gardens against Roddy Piper.
Well, then it's time for you folks here in Boston to start preparing for a major event on the way to the Boston Gardens Sunday night, November 10th. Now, that night, it all starts at 7:30 p.m., and in the main event, you are going to see an explosive encounter. Last week, Ric Flair made it very clear he will use whatever tactic is necessary to get his message out here in the WWF. And no one knows that better than Rowdy Roddy Piper. The two superstars will collide at the Garden head-on. And right now, Ric Flair is standing by with his advisor, Bobby Heenan.
You know, Piper is probably one of the most vicious men in the World Wrestling Federation. He's probably one of the most unpredictable wrestlers in the World Wrestling Federation. He's a punk. He's a street kid. He fought his way to the top in this great sport. Why? Because he had it here. He's got intestinal fortitude. But you didn't show me anything, Piper, when you were laying face down and your mini skirt up over your head. Compliments of the real world's champion. Now what are you going to do, Piper?
Nothing. The match is signed, Piper. And let's give it where it belongs. You were one of the biggest stars to ever walk that long aisle in this sport. Now, my friend, the real world heavyweight champion is on the scene. And if you want to be somebody, you got to beat me. And my friend, I'm saying it can't be done. Woo!
So this is just a short little promo hyping up his forthcoming match at the Boston Gardens. I included Heenan's promo there because it's actually a nice little callback to the days of the Grand Wizard. There's something gloriously old school about this one. You know, the WWF had been running promos like this since the 70s, so awesome to see these guys do it here in 1991. Here, Flair does put over Piper huge yet again. You know, you were one of the biggest stars to walk that long line in the sport. Now, he's not saying that that Piper is a has-been. He's saying, if you follow the logic, that Piper was one of the biggest stars until Flair showed up. So now, Piper, even though he is still a big star, ultimately, needs to prove himself again by beating Flair. You know, you can't actually be claimed to be one of the biggest stars until you've gone up against the real world champion. So this is just a genius little bit of hype for a house show. That's all it is, a little promo. But just think about how many of those little insert promos you've seen in WWF and how many of them are utterly, utterly forgettable. And here, in 1 minute, Ric Flair has sold you on wanting to come to the Boston Gardens to see that match. So, great promo. And the next promo is also promoting that Boston Garden show. This is from Challenge on October the 13th.
Rowdy Roddy Piper, out for revenge. He takes on the so-called real champion of the world, Ric Flair.
You know, the word's out that Rowdy Roddy Piper is mad. He's boiling mad. And everybody says, what's going to happen when he gets his hands on you? The only thing your hands are going to be good for, pal, is using a bagpipe to vacuum the living room rug.
You know, Piper, they've always said Roddy Piper was a real bad apple. One of the toughest wrestlers to ever walk that immortal aisle. Well, Piper, I'd say you've been in Hollywood too long, and you've been at that desk too long. And now, buddy, you gotta jump on Ric Flair, the real world's heavyweight champion. Woo!
So here he says, Piper, you've been in Hollywood too long, you've been at that desk too long. And again, he's doing a bit of the work shoot stuff here, you know. He's calling Piper out, basically, telling him to up his game and to prove himself. He's sowing those seeds of doubt in the minds of the fans, and he's putting question marks on Piper's ability. And basically giving fans every possible reason to pay their money and turn up to Boston Gardens to see what happens. I think it's a great little insert promo. Awesome to hear Sean Mooney there as well. And this is the third promo now from Boston. This is October the 20th, 1991. WF Challenge, once again introduced by Sean Mooney. And the last promo on Piper hyping this Boston bout.
Hello, everyone. Fall has arrived. Clear evidence is the distinct chill in the air. Well, right here in the World Wrestling Federation, since his arrival, Ric Flair has received a very chilly reception wherever he goes. Well, Sunday night, November 10th, 3 weeks from this Sunday evening at the Boston Garden, Rowdy Roddy Piper plans to heat things up when he steps into the ring with the so-called real champion of the world. Let's hear from both superstars involved in this incredible matchup.
Hey, Hot Rod, if you've shook all the cobwebs out of your head, listen to this.
Hey, Piper, the first time you saw the belt, you spit on it. The last time you saw it, you kissed it. Now, big man, if you want more, I'm real easy to find. You see, I'm looking like this, Piper. My name's Ric Flair, and I'm the real world heavyweight champion. If you or anybody else wants to do something about that claim, buddy, I'm not hard to find. So come on, Hot Rod. Come on down and jump on the real world champion. Woo!
So here he's coming back to the plot points of the feud. Piper spat on the bell. Flair got his payback by, he says he kissed it. He's talking about whacking Piper with the belt, of course, as he did. This is a classic Ric Flair delivery here, back to his real 80s style of cutting a promo. I mean, it's simple stuff. He's not saying anything too mind-blowing here. He's just calling Piper out, challenging him to prove himself. You know, I was sold 2 weeks ago. Let's see you in Boston already, guys. You've got my money. So the next one is yet another little insert promo, this time taking on Piper at MSG. So this is to promote a match with Piper at MSG from October the 26th.
Also in the main event, you are going to see a muy caliente matchup. It is the so-called real champion of the world, Ric Flair, facing Rowdy Roddy Piper. Right now, both sides are standing by with more on this explosive encounter.
this Monday night at Madison Square Garden, New York City will never be the same.
What you gonna do, Roddy Piper, when Ric Flair runs wild on you?
Hey, that's a catchy phrase.
Not bad, huh, Bobby the Brain? I'll tell you what, Piper, you'll do nothing. Because I'm Ric Flair, I'm the real world champion. I'm the very best there is. The first time you saw the belt, you spit on it. The next time, whap, you kissed it. You don't like that? Do something about it. Bright lights, big cities, pretty ladies, long limousines, the Big Apple, Madison Square Garden, Monday night. Hot Rod, come on down.
This Monday night.
Woo! Woo!
Again, just a short one, and he doesn't have a lot of time here, and he has to share that time with Heenan, but he hits all the spots, mentions Piper spitting on the belt, gets in his character stuff about the limousines and the women, puts over New York and MSG huge. I mean, you know, even though it was only 30 seconds and it was a little snippet, I'd still want to be there just listening to this. So Flair, even phenomenal when he's only got 20 or 30 seconds. So we're going to fast forward now to January the 11th, 1992. Obviously, over the fall and the winter months, you know, Flair would be working those house shows. I mean, there are a few other promos and things hyping those matches with Hogan and Piper. But I thought I'd go ahead a little bit to the next chapter, as it were. And this is a promo to a couple of weeks before the Royal Rumble on the Funeral Parlor, WWF Superstars.
From the dark side, but there's two things he's not. One is he's not perfect, and the other is he's not the real world champion. What we're talking about now is the destiny of Hulk Hogan, not the WWF title. In my life right now, and that is to the total disgrace, the head bowing of Hulk Hogan. Look at it like this. I've got the greatest ring technician of all time at my side, Mr. Perfect. And we all know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm already going to the Hall of Fame. So the Royal Rumble, the most difficult match in all of professional wrestling. Yes, but when you have nothing to lose and you know that everybody worldwide, whether they like it or don't like it, will have when I win the WWF title, that I am the greatest of all time. Jack Tunney, video distort my title now. But when I hold the my WWF title in front of that television camera when I'm the champion. The whole world will stand up. They'll have no choice but to say it's Mr. Perfect and it's the real world champion. It's notoriety. It's more money than any of you out there will ever know. And it's being able to say that you are number one, Hulk Hogan. You, for the rest of your natural born life, will have to walk the face of this earth as number two.
No. As number three.
Yes. As number three.
Man, what a promo that was. What was it about the funeral parlor that brought out the awesomeness in Flair's promo at this time? So here, of course, Heenan and Flair have brought in Mr. Perfect as the executive consultant so that Heenan can stay in the commentary booth. And what a promo this is. I mean, he's not forgotten Hogan here. He's focused entirely on destroying him. Not only that, he wants to disgrace him. He wants to, what does he say? He wants the total head bowing of Hulk Hogan. He wants to bow his head. He puts Mr. Perfect over huge as the greatest ring technician of all time. And he correctly predicts that he himself, Ric Flair, is bound for the Hall of Fame. I mean, he couldn't have got that more right. He got in twice. Was the Hall of Fame even up and running in 92? Probably not. And in fact, 94 was the first one, wasn't it? Just a little retrospective thing. Funny to look back on. But anyway, in this promo, you get a real sense of Flair as this kind of maniacal, sadistic, insane megalomaniac. You know, the levels of grandeur and delusion are off the charts. And at the crescendo, he even gives off that evil laughter. And he's saying that Hulk Hogan will have to live out the rest of his days as second best. And then Perfect pipes in as third best. And, you know, he sees winning the title as the world listening. So underlying all of this, you can tell that the Ric Flair character craves acceptance and external validation above everything else. He's not going to accept, he's not going to stop until everybody recognizes and accepts him as being the real world champion. And that recognition from everybody else is really important to him. And that's why the belt is important, because it represents that external validation. So a really neat little insight into the basic psychology of the Ric Flair character in this promo. And I think it, you know, sets up what happens at the Royal Rumble absolutely perfectly. We have one more promo just before the Royal Rumble. This is on Superstars the night before. It's January the 18th, 92. Let's listen to this one.
And folks, this is definitely an evening you want to spend with a loved one. It is Valentine's Day, but guaranteed there will be no love lost in the main event between Rowdy Roddy Piper and Ric Flair. Right now, both men are standing by with more on this upcoming battle.
You know, champ, I can feel it in the air. The Royal Rumble, the World Wrestling Federation belt is on the line. It will be yours, champ. And the Intercontinental belt is also on the line. And you know what? Our friend, so-called friend, Rowdy Roddy Piper, he's got an opportunity of a lifetime.
I had a dream, he said. I dreamt when I was 160 pounds that I was going to be the world champion. Wrong! The difference between you, Piper, and me and Perfect is we had a dream, but we went out and did it. We became the greatest champions known to this sport. And now, at the Royal Rumble, Piper, you got a shot at the Intercontinental title and a shot at the Royal Rumble. Well, my friend, those are called illusions of grandeur. Look at the new WWF champ.
So here, as his own character is becoming more and more hysterical and more delusional, he pulls the classic heel move of calling Piper out for illusions of grandeur. So, I mean, Flair, the person most guilty of illusions of grandeur, or delusions of grandeur, if you want, is now calling Piper out for exactly that. So, always awesome when a heel is, completely hypocritical in that way. And then he lands some blows that must have hurt Piper, in that work shoot style. He references the fact that him and Perfect have won lots of titles between them, an oblique reference to Mr. Perfect's AWA world titles, of course, all of Flair's NWA titles, Perfect's IC title, and the Piper hasn't won any titles at all. So he's calling it like it is. But he's doing it in a way that is going to generate maximum heat, maximum sympathy for Piper, maximum heat and interest in the Royal Rumble itself. And then he's so confident of the victory that he's already calling himself the WWF champion. So such a perfectly booked angle, all of this, culminating last week. He focused the promo on Hogan. This week he's focusing it on Piper, who he's been feuding with. And none of this angle could have, been as executed as well as it was without all of these promos that I've been running through. So let's go to the Royal Rumble itself now. And I'm going to take a look at the promo directly after he won the world title. This is January the 19th, 92.
All right, by virtue of winning the Royal Rumble, we have a brand new World Wrestling Federation champion as the press watches on. At this time, to present the title belt to the new champion, our president, the distinguished Jack Tunney.
Congratulations, Ric Flair, on becoming the undisputed champion of the World Wrestling Federation.
Let me just say, after Vera distorting the belt, to proclaim me the real world champion, I'm going to tell you all, with a tear in my eye, this is the greatest moment in my life. When you walk around this world and you tell everybody you're number one, the only way you get to stay number one is to be number one. And this is the only title in the wrestling world that makes you number one. When you are the king of the WWF, you rule the world. Think about it like that, Mr. Perfect.
Guys, the brain. Up
woo! 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 Let's give a big one. Woo! Woo!
You did it.
I was never so impressed with anything I've ever seen in all my life. He went out there for over 60 minutes, never took a back step, took it to Hogan, took it to The Undertaker, took it to whoever got in that ring. That's why he is,
Bobby,
called now the real world's heavyweight champion.
We're not the kind of guys to say, we told you so, but we told you so.
Hey, okay, very good. Ric Flair, you have made world... Put that cigarette out. You have made World Wrestling Federation history here tonight.
It's the greatest moment of my life. I want to jump. I want to party. But I got to tell you like this. For the Hulk Hogans and the Macho Mans and the Pipers and the Sids, now it's Ric Flair. And y'all pay homage to the man. Woo!
And so there it is, the external validation he's been craving so much from, and he gets it from Jack Tunney himself, representing the man, giving, as in the corporate man, giving him the title, the external validation he's been craving. And then, such a classic line, he says, with a tear in my eye, this is the greatest moment in my life. Why? Because he's proved that he's number one. And then, in an amazing heel move, after months of claiming to be the real world champion with the NWA belt, he flips it and says that this is the only title in the wrestling world that makes you number one. And then, listen to this, when you are the king of the WWF, you rule the world. He puts himself over, he puts the title over, he puts the WWF, the company, over. It's just a phenomenal promo in every single way. And then... I mean, Heenan and Perfect are absolutely great in their support roles as well, you know, creating that atmosphere of the heel camp in Victory. I mean, it's a perfectly executed moment. We get the classic Mean Gene moment as well. Put that cigarette out, he says. But Flair being Flair, he doesn't forget the rivals. You know, he calls them out by name. Piper, Hogan, Sid, Savage, you all pay homage to the man now. So it's kind of like, you know, back in the 80s he did it. He would always do the roll call of all of the top faces in the company. And here we get it again. So he's already set up, you know, his first few title defenses. And, well, I mean, as a wrestling fan, I couldn't be more excited. So anyway, I'm going to fast forward again now to the kind of angle feud match where he would lose this first WWF title. And I want to go to about a month before the WrestleMania 8 to March the 7th, 1992, where he cut this promo on Randy Savage. And, well, this is a famous one.
There has been tremendous speculation in recent weeks that Ric Flair and Mr. Perfect know something about the Macho Man, Randy Savage, that would adversely affect his performance when he challenges Flair for the World Wrestling Federation title as part of WrestleMania 8. I'm looking forward to it. Oh, Mr. Perfect, come on along with us, if you would, please. Wow. Look at this layout. I can't believe it.
When I tell you I love you, honey, you can put it in the bank.
Interrupting here, I didn't mean to do that. I don't want you to cut your telephone call short. Gentlemen, I got to say, this wall looks very impressive. Matter of fact, it looks like the who's who in the world.
Well, it's the Wall of Fame, Gene.
Mr. Perfect, and of course you, World Wrestling Federation champion Ric Flair, you know very well why I am here. The allegations, the questions, the accusations, I want some answers.
Well, Gene, the whole world knows it's no secret that Randy Savage is insanely jealous of Elizabeth. But I'll tell you what has been the best-kept secret in all of professional sports, and that's this. Would you please tell the whole world, Gene, what this is?
If I'm not mistaken, it looks to me like a cover of an upcoming issue of the World Wrestling Federation magazine.
Oh, it's more than that, Gene. Please read the top line.
Wait a minute. Extra. Flair reveals shocking Elizabeth photos. Hey, what does that mean?
I'll tell you what it means. It means that somewhere out there in the world, Randy and Liz are vacationing. As Randy prepares for his greatest challenge, WrestleMania 8, a shot at the World Wrestling Federation Championship. And it means at this very moment, Randy and Liz are either sitting opposite each other, maybe even lying down side by side. And it means Elizabeth right now is experiencing sweaty palms. Right, Liz, baby? Maybe she's experiencing that old-time feeling up and down her spine. Maybe she's finding it more and more difficult, eh, baby, to look Randy in the eye. Do you know why she's having all these problems right now, Gene? Because she knows that Ric Flair is not only the greatest wrestler alive today, she knows that Ric Flair is the greatest lover on the face of God's green earth, Gene. And you know how she knows that? I bet you want to know, huh? You're thinking to yourself, champ, can you prove that statement? Well, the answer is yes. Let me show you this right here, everybody. Oh, once again, look at this, Gene Okerlund. Look at this, everyone. Woo! You know what this means? It means Randy Savage, Elizabeth was mine. before she was yours. Woo! Yes! One more time, Randy. It means Elizabeth was mine, big man, before she was yours. And yes, if you're thinking to yourself, how am I going to follow that act? You can't. I'm the best, number one. But you know what the bottom line is right here, Randy? The bottom line is that the only reason Elizabeth is at your side right now is because I dumped her. Yeah, I dumped her. She's damaged goods, Randy. She's been mine. How about that, Randy? Is that hard to swallow?
That's cold.
Oh, yeah, it should be cold. And it should make you really think hard. Look her in the eyes. Ask her. As you focus on WrestleMania 8, as you focus on your greatest challenge, Ric Flair, remember, she was mine, pal, before she was yours. And Liz, I know you're thinking, baby, you're dying to make the call. I know you got the number, and she does, Gene. So, baby, feel free. Make the call. Drop the dime. I'll be there 24 hours a day. Just like I always have been, honey. You know, as we look at this, I want to assure you of one thing. And keep in mind, she's a beauty, isn't she? Let me assure you of one thing, Gene Okerlund.
What's that?
She's all the way live. The water was a little cold. Woo! What a night.
Hey, Jeff, was she a whoa?
Oh, no, she was a woo!
What I love there, you get the little snippet of him talking to the woman out the back there. You know, Flair's such a player that he's constantly got some woman on the go. And Mr. Perfect is so good as the kind of jock sidekick as well during all of this. Now, of course, this is a famous angle. Flair has got shocking photos of Elizabeth, investigative journalist Mean Gene on the scene. Flair here, he says, Elizabeth knows that Ric Flair is not only the greatest wrestler alive today, she knows that Ric Flair is the greatest lover on the face of God's green earth. Elizabeth was mine before she was yours, Savage. I mean, this is sailing close to the wind, I think. You know, Flair is outright claiming that he slept with Savage's wife, but also that he's better in bed. So not only has he slept with his Savage's wife, he is just much better in bed. And then that he was there before Savage and that he dumped her and that she's damaged goods, and that essentially he's saying that Savage has Flair's sloppy seconds. Now, you know, the stuff with Hogan that I covered earlier on in the show was quite risque for the time. But I mean, if you think about this, you know, the thing about Ric Flair is that he was so demonstrably adult. You know, he's such an adult act. And, you know, let's face it, the WWF at this time was a kiddie promotion. It was, you know, a cartoon world. And Flair is kind of bringing this adult content, kicking and screaming, into the kiddie promotion. I think it's amazing stuff. And Flair, of course, is great in this role. I mean, if you think about what he's saying here, he's openly bragging about his ability to make Miss Elizabeth come. I mean, let's face it, that's what he's suggesting. Can you believe that this went out on WWF programming in 1992? I mean, it's just so great. So, so great. And if you also just think about how jealous and insane Savage is, and how much just watching this would rile him up. I mean, it's just absolutely, it's all-time great stuff. I really love this run in 92, is why I'm covering it. I couldn't love some of these promos more. Now, I'm fast-forwarding now a couple of weeks again to look at a press conference ahead of WrestleMania 8 that was held on, the 28th. Of March 28th, 1992, a week before WrestleMania.
Could I get your attention, please? Before we get started here tonight, I would like to set some ground rules down for everybody, members of the dais as well. And the ground rules are this, that I would like all the applause to be held till after Ric Flair has finished speaking. Now, ladies and gentlemen, at this time, I would like to introduce to you the man that in 1 week at WrestleMania 8 will face the Macho Man Randy Savage. And I am proud to say will destroy the Macho Man Randy Savage. Ladies and gentlemen, I give to you at this time the greatest World Wrestling Federation champion of all time, Ric Flair.
Thank you, Mr. Perfect. As I now stand before each and every one of you, each and every one of you that believes Elizabeth led that life of celibacy, each and every one of you that believes she's that sweet, innocent flower she claims to be, each and every one of you that believes her accusations that the photographs of she and I are not real, once again, as I stand before you all, let's just take one moment to review the photos. Let's start out with the photo of she and I by the pool. Remember the towels? The initials R&L? Well, what else could they stand for but Rick and Liz? And my favorite fruit, strawberries. What a great day that was. Now let's look at Liz and I watching TV, cuddled up oh so closely. And of course, there's the scene at the dining room table, drinking Dom Perignon. Look at the look of her eyes. Look at the bliss of there's a satisfied woman. And of course, let's go to the stables. As I said earlier, there's Elizabeth with her two favorite studs. Please notice the scarf she's wearing. Well, it's not by chance, ladies and gentlemen, that I happen to have that lovely scarf with me this very moment. And it's not by chance that I happen to remember the lovely scent of Elizabeth, Randy, the lovely scent of your oh-so-beautiful wife. Then again, it's not by chance that I'll be wearing this same scarf at WrestleMania 8, remembering the sweet smell of your lovely wife, Randy. And it's not by chance that I will experience the sweet smell of success when I beat you, Randy Savage, at WrestleMania 8. Woo! Thank you. Thank you all so much. Woo! Woo! Hey. Woo! 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 Woo!
This deliberate taunting of the Macho Man and this scathing attack upon the pristine character of Elizabeth must be driving Randy Savage absolutely insane. Later on in this program, the Macho Man will be here with his very focused comments.
So, wonderfully staged press conference there by Perfect and Flair. It's awesome how kind of shady and dodgy these two guys are. Flair, of course, has got all of these different photos, and it's almost like some JFK shit going on here, where he's literally reviewing the evidence. Remember the initials R&L, Rick and Liz. Looks at the fruit, the strawberries, cuddling up, watching TV. And killer line, look at her eyes, there's a satisfied woman. And then he claims that he's going to wear this scarf to WrestleMania to remember her smell, and he's got the same scarf that she's wearing in the photos. What's awesome about this is that of course there's every we the fans don't know if Liz is, you know, all of the goodies you heard Sir Alfred say afterwards, you know, the pristine character of Elizabeth, and you know, we're meant to think as babyface fans that Elizabeth hasn't done anything wrong, but obviously we don't know if the claims are true or not, and Rick being such a ladies man, you know, could be telling the truth. So yeah, there's a little bit of intrigue, and more intrigue than usual, surrounding this match at WrestleMania. And after this press conference, we're ready to see it, of course. So let's move on to the final promo I'm going to look at, and that is of course the moment where he loses the title at WrestleMania 8. This is April the 5th, 92.
Well, thank you, Gorilla. This is one tough assignment. I'm going to attempt to get comments from the now former World Wrestling Federation champion, Ric Flair's executive...
Shut up, Mooney. This is the way it is. Macho Man Randy Savage, you call yourself a macho man? Well, what's so macho? What an injustice. I'm not going to stand out here and say anything that wasn't true, Macho Man. You had a handful of trunks. The trunks were up. The stupid referee, a bad job of officiating. I'll tell you, Bobby, you saw what happened. Did you see what happened?
I just got down from the booth. He had your tights. I saw it. It's on camera. It's on tape. I got it. There's nothing to worry about. He had
there is nothing to worry about. Wait a minute. There's some tactics that Ric Flair was using out there. They're questionable.
What we have right now is a man that'll walk around town tonight claiming to be the real world champion, claiming to be the second time WWE heavyweight champion. He'll be claiming it all, and most of all, he'll be claiming the love of that Jezebel, Elizabeth. Now, Savage, unlike a lot of people in the greatest sport of them all, we don't cry over spilt milk. We reassemble a team. The money, the brains, the nucleus, and we say to our opponent, you did it once. Now, let's see you do it again. One time means nothing to my career. Tell him, Mr. Perfect.
I'll tell you what. One time means nothing, Macho Man. Like your old lady, you're going to be damaged goods because this man has never taken a shortcut in the world of wrestling. You, Macho Man, have taken a shortcut. You had a handful of tights. We were out there. We were wrestling. This man was the greatest World Wrestling Federation champion of all time.
He is the greatest.
Here it comes. Let everybody have a good long look at it because they're all going to see how the handful of tights.
Right there, here it comes. Watch, Mooney, you get a good look. Look at that handful of tights. That's a champion. He cheated. He doesn't deserve to have the title.
He's like his old lady, a cheater.
Well, the way it stands right now, there is a new champion in the WWE.
Now, we regroup together. Where I go, Perfect goes. It's all monitored by Heenan. And like I said before, Savage, might not be tomorrow. It might be the day after. But I'm going to beat you, and I'm going to beat you bad. And every time I see your old lady, I'm going to kiss her on those moist, wet lips. Woo!
Oh, baby champ!
Well, as you know, this is not a very safe place to be. I'm out of here. Let's go over to Mean Gene Okerlund.
So, absolutely a legendary promo, this. Heenan and Perfect in a clear disarray. And Flair tries to remain calm at the start, but he's clearly seething. Calls Elizabeth a Jezebel. Now, he's trying to tell this narrative of reassembling the team and reordering and starting again. He's trying to hold it all together, but you can hear him literally falling apart at the seams here. His pride is hurt. He's so sore over losing the title. There's little grunts. His breath is short. He's clearly beside himself, and yet he's trying to tell this narrative of not crying over spilt milk and, you know, holding it all together and regrouping with the perfect team and all this. But, you know, the kind of body language and his tone tells the real story. And then, of course, if it needed to be made explicit, Heenan and Perfect just exploding with anger tells a real story. And then comes the immortal line. One time means nothing to my career. What an amazing one-liner there. And I think that's another aspect of Flair's promos that I haven't really commented on, is his ability to create those sound bites, you know, those memorable lines that you can quote time and again. And then, of course, he gets in his shot at Elizabeth again. Every time I'm going to see her, I'm going to kiss her on those moist, wet lips. And, you know, just that word moist is overly sexual for the 1992 WF context. Absolutely phenomenal stuff from Flair. And I hope over the course of the past hour or so, or hour and a half maybe, that I have proven that Flair is the greatest promo of all time, just through his ability to tell a story, to craft feuds purely through his promos. And, you know, yes, I do acknowledge The Rock or Mick Foley or Steve Austin or even Vince himself, Dusty Rhodes, all of these people, Terry Funk as well, are great promos. They all have things that they do exceptionally well. What I think Ric Flair does well, and what I've tried to demonstrate here, is that he gets his opponent over, he gets the angle over, he gets the belt over, he gets the company over, he gets his allies over, he gets, you know, he consistently got Heenan and Perfect over, and Piper over, and Hogan over, and Savage over, as well as getting himself over. And that is, I think, not only a lost art in current promos, but something that Ric Flair did better than anybody in wrestling history. Join me once again for part three of Fair for Flair, where I'll be back talking about some matches. Woo!
Tony, there are a lot of people that can claim to be, but there is only one World Heavyweight Champion, Ric Flair, the Nature Boy Ric Flair.
A man who wears the 10 pounds of gold, David. You're right, he is something. Nature Boy Ric Flair, the Heavyweight Champion of the world. Right now, let's go to Nature Boy Ric Flair in a talk with the World's Heavyweight Champion.
Atlanta has been starved for the sight of a real man. Commitments all over the world have kept me from being in Atlanta. As much as Atlanta deserves a real man like Ric Flair. All you young ladies that are headed for Florida, you don't have to go to Disney World to find Space Mountain. It's right here. You pay attention, sweetheart, or you'll never get in line. The people stand in line because they're going to have an opportunity to see the greatest wrestler in all of professional sports.
Long limousine, just like that.
Jet airplanes,
just like that.
Custom made clothes,
just like that. And any woman in the world I want, just like that. Just like that. Just like that. Just like that.
The list is endless of all the big guns that want to be where I am. They want to wear the custom made clothes. They want to ride around in long limousines. They want to woo the finest women in the world today. Well, gentlemen, you remember one thing. Ric Flair is forever, and so is NWO.
Long limousine, just like that.
Jet airplanes,
just like that.
Custom made clothes,
just like that. And any woman in the world I want, just like that. Just like that. Just like that. Just like that.
Woo! Looking so fine. Show 'em what's cooking in Atlanta, GA tonight.
Just like that. Just like that. Just like that. Just like that.
Woo! Looking so fine.
Just like that.